You know, you were over at my house the other day helping out with my son, and he, I think, is a little confused because he keeps calling you Elsa.
Yeah. So, like, honestly, that's like the hugest honor of my life, to be confused with a Disney princess. So.
Yeah. I mean, he had a great time, but he just says, "Where Elsa? Where Elsa?"
Yeah.
Yeah. And he really wants Elsa to come back. So.
Oh, well. Happy to come by anytime.
Sure, yeah. Do you think you give off strong Elsa vibes?
Maybe.
Yeah.
She, like, has kind of, like, dark and broody thoughts, you know? Yeah. She has cool, like, magical hair-changing abilities. I don't have that, so I wish I could do that.
I mean, I think the ice powers is a little more powerful than her hairstyle.
Yeah, I want to be a Disney princess so I can magically change my hair.
I think you can. All right, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff with me, not as always, but today, at least, Pastor Cassandra Nagel. There you go.
Hello, people of the future.
Like, I have kids, right? My brain doesn't work anymore, you know.
I'm honored to be confused with Elise anytime, yeah. So no problem.
Yeah, thanks for being with me today.
Sure.
I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to come talk about nonsense, you know, for us. Yeah. Now, you have recently gone on a trip.
Mm-hmm.
What airline did you fly? Did you fly American Airlines?
We flew United.
Okay. All right. I have flown American Airlines before. Are you familiar with American Airlines?
Mm-hmm.
So when you fly, what are the stressors for you? I've got a news story about kind of some flight stuff.
Missing my flight.
Sure. Well, obviously, you know.
My ultimate fear is that we have uncontrollable turbulence while I'm in the bathroom.
Okay.
Right? Like,
sure.
When I'm not buckled, that's when the turbulence starts. Okay. That's what happens.
I get that. Yeah. Obviously, seatmate, you know, that's going to cause some anxiety there, you know, who you're going to be sitting next to.
Sure.
You know, I want to make sure it's somebody, you know, quality. But we got a problem here at the airlines.
Okay.
And that's line skippers.
Oh.
Okay. Are you familiar with line skippers at the airlines?
Like line skippers getting on the plane, going through security, all that stuff?
It's getting on the plane. Like, you know, they call their boarding groups, and these are people who are skipping ahead to a different boarding group.
Ooh, that's pretty sneaky.
Yeah.
I think it doesn't really bother me.
Yeah.
Now, if we were flying Southwest...
Sure.
Then it would bug me, right? Because the seats are a free-for-all.
They could take your aisle seat.
Yeah. I would say it stresses me out more and it bothers me more when I'm carrying on like a suitcase and I have to put it in the above, you know. But if I just have like a bag going under my seat, I'm like, well, that's not very nice to do. But
I'm not
personally stressed out about my own ability to like have my things be settled, right?
Yeah, I would say it's the overhead compartment storage, right?
Like
that obviously they just don't have enough. Like, I don't know what happened here, what's going on, but they don't have enough storage and people's stuff has gotten bigger, not smaller, right?
Yeah.
Like, because everybody wants to carry on, especially because they're charging you money to check your bag.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to get the largest carry-on you can so you don't have to check a bag. I mean, I get it. But yeah, people are skipping those lines. It's like American Airlines. Now, when you scan your boarding pass, if you are out of order, it will flash red and make an audible sound.
Wow.
So like, what sound do you think it makes? I didn't see this when I flew American.
I don't know, like,
I want
like
it loud.
You're trying to steal something from the department store 100%. Type noise.
I want it to be loud because I don't need it, you know, like, it's one thing if the flight attendant hears it and it's like, hey, you're out of order. That's not enough a deterrent. It needs to be social shaming.
Maybe it's like intruder alert,
alert. Yeah, I want it to be line cutter, line cutter, line cutter, real loud.
Like shaming them.
Yes, and have to slink back to their area, their boarding group where they're allowed to go. That's the only way.
What if you like got a stamp on your boarding pass that was like...
No, that's not. I think it needs to be public shaming. That's the only way to solve this problem. Look, I mean, like, what are they going to do? I mean, they're obviously not going to kick you off the flight. So, like, for cutting the line.
No.
And nor should they. But public shaming, I think, is going to be the best and most effective form of punishment there. So everybody knows.
So do you think it'll be one of those things where, like, people will join in? You know, yeah. like the noise becomes a public chant.
I would love
right?
it.
Right? And yeah. then they keep chanting until you get to the back of the line.
100%. Yeah. 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 If everybody's chanting back of the line,
yeah.
I'm on board. Look. You know,
that makes me want to cry thinking about that.
Because
this is what would happen. I would accidentally be in the wrong boarding group and then just start sobbing in the airport as people are chanting back of the line.
Yeah. Well, don't worry. If you're traveling with a companion of higher status, this is from the news article, higher status, the agent has a way to override the alert and accept the pass.
Mm.
So who are the high status people? Are you flying with Beyonce? You know, like
I think it means like who's like flown more, right? Because like my dad flies all the time.
Okay, so
he gets to board first because he's flown like okay. a million whatever miles.
Sure. So it's all the Nepo babies out there get to board along.
Well, it happened to us because my dad got to board super early and so then he gets to bring a companion. So like he gets to bring my mom
okay.
as like his guest or sure. whatever in group one or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. oh well.
All right. But not you.
No.
You have to try to brave cutting in line to be publicly shamed.
Well, I was worried because he like has this special status. So he and my mom are in this particular group and my dad's telling me and my brother, he's like, you guys can come with us. Like you'll be our guest. I'm like, but that it doesn't say that on my boarding pass. What if they, you know, and then the people in the group one and two are glaring at us sure. over the
divider
line. And
they start chanting back of the line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, we can just go wait in the other line. It's okay. And yeah.
Yeah.
Public shaming is a fear. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, I think also like airlines, when you charge us to check bags, this is what you get. People are,
yeah.
are fighting for the overhead space.
Yeah.
You know?
I guess, well, what is interesting is like a lot of times planes are delayed or you're wanting to load people onto the planes really fast. So I don't know do you think that would delay a boarding process a lot?
I don't know.
Or is it worth it? It's worth it for the public shaming.
It might be worth it for the public shaming. All right, let's get into our main topic. So you sent me a Instagram reel a few weeks ago. I don't know if you remember this.
This is news to me. I yes. forgot.
But it's pretty funny.
Okay.
Cool.
I like sending funny things.
Yeah, because I'll try to play it here over the speaker and we'll see if this works. And if it doesn't, then I'll just cut all this out. Yeah.
Okay.
The headline is like churches. Yeah, we do small groups a bit differently here. And then it says also churches. And then here we get a super cut of different churches. Here we go.
Let's do life together.
All right, that's enough.
Yes.
You get the point.
I think I sent it to you and was like, this should be your new like faith formation slogan. Like this
it's
is your...
every church's faith formation yeah. slogan. Every church is saying yeah. the same thing over and over again. We do life together. Like yeah. it's become the phrase.
And it's like they do a hand thing. Like they're all like waving their hands yeah, in the sure. same way too. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's start here. Why has this become kind of the thing? Why are we life together is kind of like the church's statement for people.
Yeah. I wonder if it has to do with coming out of COVID.
Yeah.
Right. So like for so long we were physically isolated. We were sort of emotionally isolated. And now we're trying to draw people out of being in our own homes and our own phones. Right. Yeah. And wanting communities to be together, not just for an hour on Sunday for worship, but yeah. throughout the week, you know, or like a lot of those churches are like, join a life group, join a, you know, something sure. that's happening beyond Sunday mornings too.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, obviously, in America, I mean, people are like lonelier than they've ever been. You know, I
sure.
think like we just have like a loneliness epidemic. And mm-hmm. so, and I think part of it has been like churches and different organizations were kind of your groups
mm-hmm.
and now they're just not as much,
mm-hmm.
you know, like that it's especially at a large church or a mega church, you can come worship, leave, and no one will talk to you at all, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
are you know, that's
anonymity,
yeah. And I think for a lot of people, maybe they want that,
mm-hmm.
but I think that we're trying to feel like, well, how do we, especially in a large congregation, how do you still have a sense of community, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
how do you still that? And I think people ultimately want community,
mm-hmm.
But they're for whatever reason, just not finding it anywhere, anyplace. So I think she was like, well, we just do life together. Mm-hmm. I think it's a non-threatening way to say, like, you're going to be in a small group and people are coming to your house to, like, talk about things.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's pretty vague. I mean, you can interpret that how you'd like, right? And
for
figure out, you know, what does doing life together mean for you might be different than somebody else.
For sure. Yeah. So our main topic is from Relevant here, what it really means to do life with your church community. So even our friends at Relevant are tapping into the doing life together. All right. How do you think, you know, here at church, do you feel like you're doing life together with people?
Do I personally feel like I'm doing life?
Yeah. I mean, it's different when you're a staff person.
Yeah, it is hard because we're staff people. So I think the relationships that we have with folks just inherently are a little bit different.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, I think so. Well, part of it is different because we're staff members, you know. Mm-hmm. So like my faith community and my coworker community overlap, you know, like they're the same, you know. And I think here on staff, like we, you know, right now have like a fun vibe. Like I think we really enjoy one another and it's easy to come into the office and like not just talk about work stuff, but talk about life and, you know, how things are going and things like that. So, so I think like right now, I think we're in a good life together place, but I'm on staff, so it's different, right? Like, you know, it's not quite, you know, I don't go a week in between seeing church people, you know, like some people do. Like, so like, so I don't, it's hard to evaluate.
Yeah. Well, and I think the tricky thing is like, when I think about, you know, what does it mean to have people in my life who support me through all of the different nuances of life? Like, I can't complain about work to people at Lord of Life.
That's fair.
Because it's their faith community, right? So, like, there are some just aspects of life that I feel like I can't do in the same way here. And that's, it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just kind of the reality of the community in which we serve.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah. Yeah, you know, I think that's really the life together group I'm looking for is who is my vent group?
Like, sure, yeah.
Who's the group it's safe to vent to?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and when you're a church worker, it's hard to do that to your church community.
Yeah.
You know, so because you can't be like, oh my gosh, my coworkers, let me tell you.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm sure you don't never have to vent about anything. You know, obviously I'm doing
it. I would never complain about you. Yeah, never. Yeah.
All right. So this is by Deborah Folletta. I assume that's how I pronounce her name. And, you know, she's got a couple points here that she wants to go through. And we're going to kind of just go through these and maybe add some thoughts here on what it actually means to do life together. All right. And so she's starting off with a kind of like this story here, which it's not, you know, whatever.
It's fine.
Yeah. Basically, it's like, two people meet, they fall in love, they have a wedding, and then they kind of drop from their friend group.
Yeah.
Have you experienced this?
No. I mean, I'm not married. So.
Sure. Yeah. yeah, I would say, yeah, I get it. Like, I think that this does happen. I think, you know, like, it's one of those, like, you just entered a new phase in life.
Mm-hmm.
And so typically when you're, like, in a married couple, it's typically often looking for other married couple friends, right? Like, because like that's what you're in the same phase of life. Like you have less in common with your single friends and things like that. And the same happens when you start having children. Like you just start looking for people who also have kids around the same age because you're in the same phase of life. So like, I think this happens. I don't think it's like that big of a deal. Like, I think it's just one natural part of what life looks like. And that's okay. But, you know, she is going to argue like, hey, we've got other relationships that God is calling us into and we need to like invest in those. Yeah. Okay. You know.
Yeah.
We don't need to like, really deal much with the intro.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get into her. Some reasons community might have more benefits than we think it does. Okay. Number one, community challenges you to be more like Jesus. What do you think?
Yes.
I mean, I guess it should, you know, like
ideally, right? Yeah.
You know, like that would be a good community would challenge you to be more like Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work? How does a good community challenge you to be more like Jesus?
I think it involves reaching out to people when you haven't seen them in a while, right? And reminding folks that their presence is important, right? I mean, being able to look outside of ourselves, I think, is a really valuable characteristic that Jesus has, right? And so ways that the community can embody that and help draw us out of ourselves, whether it's coming to church on Sunday or just like being in relationship with other people, right, in a meaningful way, I think is really important.
Yeah, I think, you know, like, when you think about Jesus, you know, when it comes to like his spiritual stats, he's kind of an A+ across the board, right? Like, you know, he's great, you know, so, but I am not, you know, as great as I am, I'm not. And I think when we're around community and church, like, we are bound to be around people who are closer to Jesus in some aspects than I am currently. Like, there are some people in our congregation, in our church community, that I would say, like, they have a better understanding of what it means to care for the least of these than I do. And some people have a better understanding of what it means to rely on prayer than I do. And some people have a better understanding of worship than I do. And so, like, I think when we're in community, it's like those different facets of Jesus, you know, that some people is better at, like, challenges me to be better in those areas, or to at least lean on people who are better in those areas. And so I think that this, it's not necessarily like every week when you're in like a church community, like, they're saying, like, are you close enough to Jesus? You know, like, like, I don't think it's that kind of a challenge, or that shouldn't necessarily be what it looks like. Like, every week you go to like Bible study or small group and they're like, tell me how you failed so that I can tell you you should be closer to Jesus. It's just like they're just naturally kinder or more patient or have a deeper prayer life. And that challenges me to be more like them because I see Jesus in those moments. Does that?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Number two. Community meets practical needs. All right, what do we think about this?
I think it's true.
Sure.
And I think this is something that our community does well, right? I think about our Wednesday nights. I mean, we are feeding people, right? Like 85 to 100 people every week, right? I mean, there are ways in which we are gathering as community and meeting a physical need that people have.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, I think, like, I was weeks ago in the hospital and I was sick and I just needed, you know, some extra love. And, you know, I'll say part of our community is you came, you know, brought my family a meal while I was away. And I think that that is kind of like a practical need that would not have existed without community, right?
Sure.
Like, and I think like that's something that we can kind of do for one another. Like, when we see people hurting, we can say, like, how can we surround your family or how can we surround you with practical needs? And those are the ways that we can kind of help one another. I think that you mentioned, like, coming out of COVID, I think, like, that time, like, was a really isolating time. And I think we kind of felt like some pretty significant needs in our, like, home life, like, in our, like, and, like, that weren't being met. And I think a lot of people kind of exited being pretty depressed or filled with anxiety because, like, these practical needs weren't being addressed. And so I think, like, we need community to kind of, like, help do that. All right. Number three, community carries you emotionally.
Yeah, I think this is awesome. I really like this one.
Okay. What do you like?
Because it's more like touchy-feely. But I mean, I think about what, you know, what Pastor David says oftentimes in our new member classes about how, like, when you feel great, come to church. When you feel horrible, come to church.
Yeah.
Right? Because even when you are in the pews, if you can't say a prayer, like, there are people who are praying on your behalf. And when you can't sing, there are people who are singing on your behalf. And sometimes when you're doing those things, like, you might be singing or praying or worshiping on someone else's behalf. And so I think there's a really beautiful thing, especially about faith communities, in being able to have a space and a time together where we are worshiping and we're also holding each other, right? Like, it's not just a between us and God type of relationship, but it is, you know, between the people who are in the pews.
Yeah, I think that this one's important too, because I think, like, we have to acknowledge, like, there are times and moments I need to be carried emotionally. That is just definitely going to have to happen in my life. You know, like every one of us will experience mourning and loss. Like that's just a part of the human condition.
Yeah.
And to say like, I am strong enough to weather it alone is foolishness.
Yeah.
And I think the height of hubris, you know, like I think that's just not how humanity works. Yeah. And so I think like this idea of like, there will be times where I need to be carried. So surrounding ourselves with people for those times.
Yeah.
And then the flip of that, like you mentioned, like the people around us are going to need to be carried too. Mm-hmm. Like they're going to have their own mourning, their own loss and their own hurt. And we get to be that for them as well. And I think that this is, you know, an important part. You know, you mentioned it's touchy feely, but I think this is like a clear, like, this is what we need. Yeah. You know, like maybe my practical needs can be met through like Uber Eats gift card, but like this it cannot, you know, unless my Uber Eats driver is like, you know,
listening to you while you eat your dinner.
Come on in and, you know, talk to me while I'm sad, you know, like,
yeah.
Or are you sad and come on eat and come on, share my French fries. Like, you know,
I think this is one of the like just core pieces of our faith. Right. Yeah. And I mean, I talked about it in one of my last sermons about like, this is church is a place, you know, a specific kind of community where we are allowed to like bring in our grief. Right. I mean, when in a typical work setting, you get a certain number of days of bereavement leave. Yeah. And when that time is up, like you have to go back to work and you might not be able to embody the grief over a lost loved one in that workplace setting. Right. But like church and a faith community is a place where, you know, 2 years later, if you're still really raw, like that's okay, right? Like there's people who are there who won't perfectly do it, but will be able to be with you in that time.
All right, there are 10 of these, so we might have to pick up the pace.
Yeah. Okay.
Community reveals your gifts and talents.
I think so.
Okay. How so?
I think anytime you're with other people, you have opportunities to share, right? And especially in a church of our size that's as dynamic as it is. I mean, there's so many different ways that folks can use their gifts and talents. I think that you can either say, I'm really good at this thing and I can apply it in this way.
Yeah.
Or someone might see a gift in you that you didn't even realize that you had.
Yeah.
And they might say, hey, I really thought that the way that you talked to so-and-so when they were upset was really meaningful. Would you be willing to be on our hospital visit list or whatever, right? I think there's ways that we can sort of live into what we already know, you know, like we're gifted at doing. And then we also have the chance to hear from other people, like how others see God working through us. And that's a really special thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like rarely in like your job or your career, maybe it's different with church work because we get to do a lot of different things. Yeah. But like rarely do you say like, I get to use everything I like doing at my job, right? Like oftentimes you're like, these are aspects I like but I don't get to do all the things I like at my job.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, community gives you a chance to like use all the things that you like. I mean, like if you're an accountant and you're great with math and numbers and you get to do that, but you also say like, you know what I really like? I like, you know, discussion. I like, you know, diving deeper into thinking or philosophy. Like you probably don't do that all that much in accounting, you know? And so this gives you an opportunity to explore those gifts and talents.
Yeah.
All right. Number five, community opens your eyes to the needs of others.
I think it's true.
Yeah.
I think just when you're around other people, this is something that just naturally happens, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think like one of the things that was pretty clear in COVID, I think a lot of us kind of, it was easy to get incredibly like self-focused.
Sure.
And I'm not saying that as like a criticism because I think that was myself as well. But like, I think when you're just with just you or just you and your family and like, that's it. Like all it is, it's easy to think like my own needs and what do I need in this world and what am I not getting in this world?
Mm-hmm.
And you think you need community to like remind you that everyone has needs and it's not just about you.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Community can improve your mental health.
Yeah. Okay. I think community can also destroy your mental health. So, but I know that this is trying to to focus on the positive aspects. So sure. I won't be a negative Nelly. Yeah. But
obviously isolation can be a problem.
Yeah.
When it comes, you know, anxiety and depression.
Yeah.
You know, that can be a problem.
Yeah.
But yeah, a bad community cannot improve your mental health. It mm-hmm. can kind of really drag you down. And even like a well-meaning community can also maybe drag down your mental health.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's improve that bugs me. I wish it was like sustain or endure or something, because I don't want the assumption to be being in community prevents having depression or prevents having anxiety, right? I think that being in community allows you to weather seasons of depression or times of anxiety in perhaps a healthier or more all-encompassing way than if you were without that community. But it's not like a magical barrier to like having poor mental health. Does that make sense?
Sure. Yeah. All right. Number 7. Community helps you live longer.
Okay.
Sure. Why not?
I don't know what science there is to back it up, but it sounds nice if you want to live longer.
She says there's actual science behind it. She does not link a study.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'll take her word for it.
Sure.
Sure. Okay. People who are part of strong, healthy communities live longer and have better overall health. Okay. Sure. Yeah, like I believe it. Humans are social creatures. Mm-hmm. You know, like I think like we're not built to weather all storms alone.
Yeah.
And so like I imagine if you're in a healthy community, you know, that can help navigate, you know, all the things of this world. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. But yeah, I think that's, you know, we're not going to advertise like our small groups or Bible studies, be like, want to live longer?
Yeah.
Come to Bible study.
Yeah. It'd be interesting who would show up though, if we did that. Right.
Scared of dying?
I guess like
we've got a Bible study.
Yeah. I mean, I guess all of our faith is like rooted in like, there is more to this life than
sure
right now. So I'm not so concerned about, living longer for that one.
Community offers opportunities for confession, which leads to healing.
I know I'm a pastor, but this one's kind of like super spiritual. I don't know. It kind of annoys me. I think it's true. It feels similar to the challenging one that we talked about earlier, like that community challenges you to be more like Jesus. I think this is just an aspect of acknowledging that sometimes we don't live like Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, in her little paragraph here that she's described this, I mean, she talks about like being authentic and that's important. And I would agree. I think mm-hmm. authenticity matters. Mm-hmm. You know, like this feels pretty like, you know, non-denominationally.
Sure.
Like, hey guys, I got something to confess.
Yeah.
But it's not really something like I really say in community. But I do think authenticity mm-hmm. and being like, this is like the real version of me, not just the person that I pretend to be to kind of be liked or to be respected or to be the appearance of being spiritual, mm-hmm. I think does matter. And I think that community can offer that.
Yeah.
I think in the flip and bad community, I think it maybe even can reinforce like an inauthentic, you know, like
sure.
an authentic life mm-hmm. of like, you have to live up to the standards or expectations of community.
Yeah.
And if you feel like you're the only one who doesn't,
mm-hmm.
Then it just requires, like, all that requires you is like putting on airs or feeling defeated, so, or both. Yeah.
Yeah. I get wary too when like healing language is included.
Yeah.
I don't know that confession with an arrow to healing is the only route, right?
Sure.
I think it's more complicated than that.
Yeah. All right. You got any more or do you want to move on?
No, we can move on.
All right. Number 9. Community connects you to new resources.
Sure. So does Google.
Yeah.
You know, so for me, this one is like, why? Like, so what? You know,
yeah.
why is that important? Or how is that different, maybe? Because you can. Now there's, you know, ChatGPT and all sorts of things.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
You know, why do the resources that a faith community offers you, why are those worth highlighting, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, like, this is one of those ones like, yeah, sure. Like the more people you know, kind of the more opportunities that kind of exist, you know, with you, whether that's like career or like just like the people with the greater, with the greatest social networks have the greatest opportunity in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure this is like, we need to go to Bible study to get that. Like,
I just, it's funny to me because she's like alluding or like quoting Acts chapter 2, 42 through 47, which is like all about the community sharing their food and praying together. And there's a lot of really good stuff in that text. So I'm just surprised that new resources is the phrase that got pulled. Because I think it could be like grows you spiritually or.
Okay, whatever. Like, and then number 10, community breaks down barriers.
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, I think
it's hard, but.
I think this is an intentional community breaks down barriers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the reality is, you know, even though humans are social creatures, we are typically most drawn to and like attracted to people who kind of look, think, and act like us already. You know, like, I think that that's just kind of what we end up doing. You know, like, it's the safest and easiest way. So typically when you're like, my friend group typically all kind of thinks the same, all kind of likes the same things and acts the same. And so like a church community can have a little bit more intentionality behind it of like, we are, can be like more, I'm intentionally forming community who don't have the same worldview as me, or who maybe have, maybe I'm in my 40s and they're in their 60s or their 20s, you know, or they have a different, you know, here in Lower Life, we can say like maybe a different like sexuality. I mean, not a lot of churches could say that.
Sure,
but like,
yeah.
you know, we could kind of have that as kind of like, here's a different barrier that we're kind of trying to like address. And it doesn't mean like, we have homophobes and the gay community in one, so, you know, but like, even as a straight man, like being around the LGBTQ community, like helps break down barriers. Like it helps break down or bring into enlightenment things that I never considered and never had to. And so I think community can do this. But if we're just in a community of like, we're all in the same age demographic, we're all in the same economic demographic, we're all white and we're all, you know, from the same part, you know, place, maybe there's not a lot of barriers to break down. Like,
I think it's tricky too, because, you know, it this feels very similar to me to like a, you know, a mega church saying all are welcome.
Yeah.
And it's like, is the welcome to bring people in so that they can be saved or they can be changed or they can be conformed, you know, into the image, you know, of Jesus that folks are, you know, wanting them to be in? Or, you know, are we part of a community where we can hold some of the tension of maybe our home lives look different and maybe our family structures look different and our, you know, workplaces are different or whatever the differences might be? You know, how can we hold all of those together and be able to see God working in each of those families and communities and contexts without trying to change them into what might make us personally feel more comfortable or more safe even, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, well, those are the 10 ways that she kind of lifted up here. Now, you know, what do we think here? Do you have any other thoughts on community or, you know, that we kind of want to kind of highlight?
It's interesting to me because the word love wasn't in any of the community or in any of the topics. And I think that that, and maybe she's like pointing at like God's love through some of these. But it's really hard to love people. And I think that that's a challenge and a gift that faith communities have. And so maybe it's similar to the first one, right? Like challenging you to be more like Jesus, right? Like faith communities like love you or strive to love you like Jesus does. Because I think that both takes a lot of intentionality and maybe takes a lot of restraint, right? Sure. Because loving people is not the same as changing them or, you know, condemning them or those types of things.
Yeah. Again, I think that that intentional community can, you know, in a church community where you might say like, I'm with people that I don't share. I share a similar faith with, but not necessarily a similar worldview. And like it's challenging me to love them and also be loved by them. And that kind of opens up something new of like, not only what does it mean to love somebody across a political aisle, but what does it mean to be loved by somebody across the political aisle is challenging, you know, and again, left to our own devices, we might not ever get there, right? Like, like we might just say, like, we might just kind of stick to our own tribes. Mm-hmm. And so, I think a healthy church community is asking us to, like, look beyond our natural tribes and things like that. And I think that that's something that the early church was striving to do and figuring out how to do. And I think we can do the same. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what do you think? Should we do life together?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But not use those words.
Not use those words. Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty too cliche. What do you got? What's the new words? What do we need to do instead?
The new version of do life.
Yeah.
Be human.
Sure. We need to be human together.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like it.
Or like be real. We'll spin off of that app that the young ones, the kids use.
What app do they use?
Be real.
Oh, that's
the app. Yeah. We'll yeah. So, we ripped off Disney earlier this year, so now we'll rip off Be Real.
Okay.
Come out with a Lord of Life app. We're going to be real with each other. You
I could probably work
send a photo.
That. That's good, yeah.
Yeah, of what you're doing at 3:45 p.m. And
if you're not familiar with the app, and nor should you be, the app basically was text you every day at a different time to take a picture.
Yeah.
And it of where you are.
Yeah.
And
you submit one. It's like one with the camera facing you and one with the camera facing out.
Yes.
So you've got to show like what you're doing and what's around you. Yes. Yeah.
And so it's like every day, like, this is just where I am and this is what I'm up to. So yeah. I think the idea behind it is like, this is just a snapshot of my life. Mm-hmm. Not like here is like the best version of my life.
Yeah.
You know, the most carefully curated version of my life.
Yeah.
You know, so all right. I'm with you. I think we could work with a be real. Yeah.
What do you think? You're the creative one on staff, so you must have a whole litany here.
Yeah. Well, I think a little bit more about this. Be real, actually. I think that there's something there. Because, you know, I also think, you know, in filmmaking, there's also something called be real.
Ooh, that's true.
Which is like...
All the outtakes.
It's all outtakes. Also, like, when you shoot be real, you're just, like, shooting, like, crowd shots or things that are not, like, action. It's like we need some b-reel of like cars driving.
Ooh,
and so like somebody just goes out and gets pictures of like videos of cars just like driving down the highway. Mm-hmm. And that might make the movie or might not, but like it doesn't need any of like the central actors or actresses in it. It's just like this is just b-reel. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's something there, like some play on words that we can kind of utilize about that. So All right, look
there
at
that. There we go. Rebranding for the churches.
We have maybe a new Lenten theme coming out of this. So like,
yeah, there we go.
All right.
Well, Jesus was real for sure.
Sure. Agreed.
He wept.
You mean like
shortest
he's like
verse in the Bible?
A real person, or like he's just like a? I mean,
he was real cool.
All right, I think that's a good place to stop. That Jesus is real cool.
Yeah.
Hey kids.
Amen. There you go.
If you want to be around cool people, Jesus.
Yeah. Hey, he's always the answer. So.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. If you have any comments about community, about Be Real, about anything else, you can email us at beyondsundaypodcast@gmail.com. And yeah, this has been an interesting journey for the Beyond Sunday team. We're pre-recording quite a lot while I'm on paternity leave. So, you know, hopefully we find these things good for our community, for our Beyond Sunday community, you know, that you're a part of this, even if we don't necessarily see you face to face, but we want you to know that we care about you and we love you and we want you to be part of this community too. So let us know. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.